Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on a Tuesday morning. Shea Cornett, Bart Scott filling in for the guys. What were you going
to
say?
I just wanted to apologize to everybody. I've been told that I wasn't talking into the mic. My mic had a case of the halitosis. We got to wipe down, and I'm all good. I'm all in the mic, man. Listen, I can smell my bad breath. I can't smell somebody else's.
Are you apologizing for today's show or the last year that you've worked here that you haven't talked into the microphone?
Oh, well, see, that's cold-blooded.
Well, my mic has had a case of the halitosis since I've been on the show. I can't smell somebody else's bad breath. I don't know who it is. I ain't calling nobody out, Keyshawn, but you know what I'm saying? Now we good. It's winter fresh all right now, baby. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Turn my mic up, B. There are particles on this.
That's my word.
It's a little disgusting, but
yeah, man. I think I saw some broccolini or some broccoli rub, man. I can't get jiggy with this.
Ugh, disgusting. Okay, anyways, Bart Scott and Shea Cornett with good breath, holding it down with the microphones here. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your home, auto, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Okay, the Giants.
Yes.
Part of the NFC East. And part of the NFC East is actually reporting the training camp this week. That would be the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're part of the Hall of Fame game. But Cowboys, part of that NFC East. And yesterday, Saquon Barkley gave an update on his health. He was asked, will he be ready for training camp and or week one of the NFL season? And here's what he had to say. Take a listen.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. Just taking it day by day and just listening to my body. And whenever I'm able to get out there, make sure that I'm 110%. Not just for, you know, the safety and healthy of myself, my well-being, but just so I can go out there and get a high level and show the world that Saquon is.
All right, so basically, we'll see was the answer to will he be ready to go.
Yeah.
And so this opens a lot of question marks for Saquon Barkley, who I think we can agree, no matter what they've done in the draft or in free agency or how much better Daniel Jones get, look, Saquon Barkley is the best offensive player on that Giants squad if he returns to what he was at least his rookie year. And so does it concern you at all, this we'll see, we're not sure if he's ready to go? I do want to point out, though, if you follow Saquon on social media, he is showing you those workouts, and he looks all of very prepared for the start of the season. Now, I'm obviously not a former football player. You are, so you could speak better to this.
Well, I see his quiet confidence, and it's one of those, I don't want to put any bulletin board material out there. Remember Joe Judge, where he comes from, right? Humble pie, let's not let the opponents know what we're thinking. I think it's a quiet confidence. It happened early in the season, week two. I think that's more than enough time. As you look at, you think about week two, what's that, almost 11 or 10 months of rehab? Usually it takes about 8. You know, it's going to take a little while for him to trust it, right? That's usually what you hear when you talk about coming back from that type of injury, being able to cut, being able to stick that foot in the ground and be able to, you know, apply pressure, you know, lean against something. If you have to drive, you have to fight for a couple of yards. That's what makes it so much more difficult for a running back, because he's reacting to what happens in front of him. But, you know, the Giants season rests on Saquon Barkley's legs, because you have to make this team two-dimensional, not one-dimensional. It's been too one-dimensional. And it's surprising that Key thought that he catches the ball well, because he does. And he showed that off the bat. I think that was one of the best things he did as a rookie, as he, you know, had 700 yards receiving his rookie year. And understand, I love my players on that 1 year prove it type of deal, right? Because remember, Joe Judge may admire Saquon Barkley and even love the way that he is. And he's the face of a franchise. When you want somebody to represent you and be outstanding, you talk about class personified, that's Saquon Barkley. He says all the right things, he does all the right things, but he's at a position in which you don't have to spend a first round draft pick on to get productivity. When you think about Chubb, you think about Alvin Kamara, you think about all the great running backs in the league, most of them have come in the rounds that didn't have a one in front of it. But he's the engine that's going to have to push this team forward, and I just can't wait to see how he's going to perform, because the pressure's on. And I think pressure busts pipes, but pressure also makes diamonds, and I believe that Saquon's more of a diamond as far as a burst pipe.
Yeah, and so him being healthy, though, is critical to this Giants team's success. It doesn't matter what they did in the offseason. And just to add a few names here that we didn't see on this Giants roster last year, let me lift some off for you. Adoree Jackson, Kenny Golladay, Kyle Rudolph, Leonard Williams. They drafted Azeez Ojulari. Like, they've got some playmakers now on both sides of the ball. But the thing is, in terms of Saquon Barkley and what he can do this year, you have to remember there's an added game to the schedule. This is a 17-game slate. It's not a 16-game slate. And so if he doesn't feel 100%, forget the preseason, forget training camp, if he doesn't feel 100% heading into week one, who, by the way, they face the Denver Broncos at home, let him sit. Let him rest. Put him on a snap count, whatever it is. You don't want to rush what you're calling the face of their franchise. And I can agree with that. Like, back to any sort of situation that he doesn't feel comfortable with. Daniel Jones also needs to take a step forward this year for the Giants. I mean, that goes without saying, right? Like, he's limited turnovers a little bit last year, and obviously you saw some games where he took some step forward. But this needs to be the year where he's solidified as the franchise starting quarterback going forward for the long haul. And so now when talking about Saquon Barkley, how much of Daniel Jones' success is predicated on Saquon Barkley coming back fully healthy?
I mean, it's totally, right? Because what happens is when you put it in Danny Dimes' hands, you know, you have a strong running game, and you can't manipulate the eyes of the safeties or the linebackers. So they're going to have tremendous depth because they're saying, hey, we can react to the run second because we believe that they can't run the ball well against us, so we can win our one-on-one matchups up front. So then now you have closed windows. But when you have a guy that's running the ball well, like you see it all the time with Ryan Tannehill. Like how often does he stick the ball in the belly of Derrick Henry, pull it out, and it's just huge voids and zones because linebackers and safeties have taken those steps forward and not get that 10 to 15 yards depth that they need to sit in those windows. So it's imperative that they're able to run the football just to take a little pressure, not only off of Daniel Jones, but also from the offense.
Of
Daniel Jones, but also of that offensive line, right? Because that offensive line is a work in progress. Let's see what happens with Nate Solder coming back.
I feel like every year, though, for the Giants, the offensive line is a work in progress.
Right, exactly.
Like, I feel like this is rinse and repeat a little bit.
But they have invested, right? They've invested heavily, right? And you think that Thomas is going to be a little bit better. Nate Solder, who opted out last year because COVID and health issues, will be coming back. He took a pay cut. And you think with all the weapons that they have and if their ability to run the ball, what concerns me is I believe that they need to go out and we have this secondary free agent market that happens once some good players that may, you know, get cut after, like, you know, first or second week in training camp because of the draft picks showing promise. They need to get another bona fide star there so that they can take some of the workload off of Saquon Barkley, at least early on, so that he can peak during the right time. You talk about the additional game, but also you want to be able to limit his miles and let him get confidence doing that, right? Because if he doesn't have confidence, he's afraid to stick that foot in the ground, and guys are going to be coming at him and cutting his legs, right? That's just what we do. It's not that we're trying to be dirty. It's that we know that that's something that's concerning to him. So he's going to be hesitant because guys are going to be diving at his legs. It's going to take him a couple of games to start feeling confident.
Okay, here's what I know. The NFC East, the last two seasons, not just last year, has been weak, okay? The NFC East, I mean, we've gone on and on. Yeah. Last year, you had a team sneak into the playoffs in the Washington football team. Yeah. The year before that, it was the Dallas Cowboys, and neither of these teams had winning records, right? You know, so now this year, it's time for the NFC East to step up and step up in a big way. Like, you would assume, obviously, the Giants, we've talked about they're going to be better. They're back. The Washington football team should be better now that they have a solidified quarterback, and we know how good that defense can be. Right. The Cowboys, I mean, weapons all over the place, and obviously injuries were an issue last year. The defense was an injury issue last year, and issues in the locker room were more issues. And so you'd assume that they can play to their full potential. I think the only real question mark at this point, and tell me if you agree with me, would be the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
Again, should be better because they're healthier and they have a more stable offensive line and they've brought in some skill players and whatnot.
But they're reloading. Right. I think they would admit that. Like, this season is about establishing a culture, right, and a way of playing football, a brand, right? As you know, they have a new head coach as well, and you know, I think it's more about that. But they have the ammunition next year to be, you know, great. You know, we heard Shefty say the team that's in best position maybe to trade for Deshaun Watson. We don't know what his future is this year. But if they're able to make that trade this year and give up assets for next year and have him in the building, and if everything works out and he's able to get back on the football field, then now they have arguably one of the best, most dynamic quarterbacks under 27 in the league.
Well, let's not rule out Jalen Hurts just yet. Let's see what he can do as a starter.
Barbara, listen, he's walking the mile. He's going to old Sparky. Okay. Getting right with Jesus. Ain't going to do that no more.
Okay. But the question I was going to get to, we laid it out for all these teams. Is this going to be the weakest division in football for a third year in
a
row?
Not at all. If you look at, listen, you know, people forget, like, I don't know who was it, Tyler Heineke or whoever was that quarterback. They gave Tampa everything that they can handle. Now, I know Chase Young didn't get to Tom Brady.
Taylor Heinicke surprised a lot of people in that game. I mean, he was no scrub.
Right, and the thing is, that was a tight game. Now, if you add a guy with the football acumen as Fitztragic or Fitzmagic, whichever way you lean, listen, he's a guy that's going to get some wins. He's going to put them in the right position, and this defense is only going to get better. And I love Jamin Davis, because if it was any one hole in that defense, it was at the second level, having a linebacker that can play in space, a linebacker that can maybe defend some of these athletic tight ends. So they're more of a complete team on the defensive side of the ball. Riverboat Ryan is going to be able to have another year to establish that culture. We know he's a guy that always has his team punching above their weight class. And I think this Washington team is going to be dynamic. I mean, because they have arguably four guys that can have double-digit sacks. The last team to come close to that was my 2006 Baltimore Ravens team.
Let them know.
You know what I'm saying? That has 60 sacks on the season. You know, something that hasn't been seen and done. And they have all the ingredients to do that same thing and be that dominant defense. And when you have a dominant defense like that, you know, everything you get from the offensive side of the ball is a plus.
Okay, so I'm looking at the breakdown of each division right now, and I was kind of, while you were speaking, going through each division, trying to see which I thought maybe would be the weakest. And quickly, like, honestly, outside the Bucs, I don't know about the NFC South. Like, the Saints, we don't know what they're going to be without Drew Brees. The Falcons, completely unsure. And then the Carolina Panthers, yeah, they've got the pieces in place now, but we don't know what's going to happen with Sam. What is Sam Darnold going to look like as a starting quarterback with a new regime and a new playbook?
I mean, NFC North. What are they going to be if you don't have? You know, I mean, Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins. I mean, Mr. C minus. You know, to be like he's like just a C. You just pencil in a C.
I almost said NFC North, but I felt like I couldn't, being a Bears fan. It just felt wrong to me in a lot of different ways. All right, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial, auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com.
Put my DJ against anybody.
It's going down tonight. Game 6 of the NBA Finals between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns. And now the series shifts to Milwaukee. Jay Williams, co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the show you are listening and watching to right now, that Shea Cornett and Bart Scott are filling in for, joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Good morning, Jay Williams. Before we get to any of this about the NBA Finals, how are you feeling?
I feel, what's up, Shake and Bake?
Hey!
If you're not first, you're last.
No doubt.
What's going on? I got two of my favorite people right now in studio together, and I'm mad because I am stuck at a hotel and I can't be there with you. So I just want you to know, thanks for holding it down. You guys are killing it like always. And Shay, I see you with the summertime swag.
I'm trying. Post baby outfits are hard to come by real quick. Jay, I just want to know, if you look out your hotel room, can you like see the Deer District? Can you see what's happening around you or no?
I really can't see anything right now, Shay. I got to be honest with you. I'm starting to go a little bit stir crazy. I found myself playing games with my daughter yesterday. Called Bark Like a Mouse. I don't know what that.
Bark,
I don't know if you ever played
mouse.
That game.
I have not.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. This game that my 2.5 year daughter
thing?
Made up. So,
okay.
Yeah, running around my hotel room in my underwear, barking like a mouse. Yeah, that's these are the games you play when you're on quarantine with your kid.
Hey. Definitely a New York mouse.
Yeah.
if any mouse can
that's
bark
mouse.
And carry
that's
a pizza down
bark.
The steps.
It's a New York mouse. All right, Jay Will joining us right now here on KJZ on the Goodyear Hotline. Okay, so tonight it's game 6. Suns obviously want to force a game 7, but they're going to have to do it in Milwaukee. So what's it going to take for that to happen for the Phoenix Suns tonight, Jay?
Well, first off, I mean, we need CP3. Like, you know, the Suns need CP3. It feels like over the last three games that, you know, the aura that he's had on the court just hasn't been the same. And what I mean by that's not a reflection of CP3 scoring 30 points. I mean, obviously that would be nice, and the Suns would love that. But sometimes, and you guys notice, like, there's a presence that people have either on the field or on the court where you just feel like they're involved in each and every possession. And they make plays when it matters. And Devin Booker, obviously, has been spectacular the last couple of games. You know, they need to get Mikal Bridges going, Jay Crowder going, obviously all the ancillary pieces. But you need CP3 to be the point guard that he's been leading up into the NBA Finals, not the guy that you've seen the past three games. So I would say that first and foremost. And also, you know, like, look, the one thing the Suns need to do is they need to get everybody involved, and they need to make sure that the pace of the game is faster. Because when the pace slows down, that's when the Bucks are able to dominate you on the boards. They have like a 68-32 offensive rebounding advantage in this series thus far. So with their sides, with their length, when the Bucks can crash the boards and the pace of the game is a little bit slower, that's where the Suns really struggle.
You know, Jay Weezy, that's why I've been saying that I believe that, you know, we have to see more Cameron Payne, right? Because he's a guy that can push the pace. We have to put, I believe, CP3 on some type of minutes restriction so that he can finish and close out the games and maybe close out the quarters, right? You know, close out the half, close out the quarters. But sometimes you got to get some of these fresh legs out there because I think it's a battle of attrition. And what we're witnessing is a 34-year-old basketball player that has maybe a lot of miles on his body, and he's doing the best he can. He's got them to this point. Now they have to get him past the finish line.
Well, Bart, here's the only issue that with CP3, right, being 36 years old, it's nobody else in their team can really create. So, you know, Mikal Bridges had 20, he was averaging 29 points the first two games because the pace of the game was faster. And it led to more opportunities in transition for him to get wide open knockdown threes or do things off the dribble when they're closing out on the fly. But what happens is that as you get deeper and deeper into the playoffs, when the pace of the game slows down, when you look at the construction of the roster for the Suns, who on that team can really create buckets for themselves or other people? It comes down to Devin Booker and CP3. That's really it. So when Devin's trying to do his thing, that's great, but you also need them to hit at full octane, and that you need CP3 to create for other people. I mean, Cam can do it to an extent, but Cam's not as lethal as CP3 is.
Go ahead. Did we underestimate the impact and the value of Sarge in this series?
Oh, 1,000%. Just because, I mean, look, Sarge is a guy that can knock down threes. You can utilize him in pick and pop. And he's a guy that's another big body to bang with Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis, right? I don't care what anybody says. That's six more fouls that you can utilize. Now, whenever DeAndre Ayton is out of the game, like you're stuck trying to go small ball or you're trying to bring Frank Kaminsky in. And I love Frank Kaminsky, right? Like I just spent time with Ben Bruss before, who played with Wisconsin, and he's a talented guy. But like he's not on the same page as Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis and those guys. So, yeah, losing Dario Saric really hurts. And also, I'll tell you this, man. Like, the one thing I loved about Giannis is that he doesn't need to be friends with everybody. We got into so many debates about how come people don't tweet about Giannis or other all-star players don't talk about Giannis. The one thing I've seen from him is, like, he did it his way. Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. It doesn't matter. I don't need to work out with LeBron James in the offseason. I can deny that. I can turn that off or down. Not disrespectfully, but respectfully. I don't need to go out and recruit other players. I don't need to, you know, have other players recruit me. If you want to be on my team, if you want to come to Milwaukee, if you want to spend time and part of our culture where I can always deflect and I can talk about what our team is doing and what we need to do. And if I focus on the past, I'm being selfish. If I focus on the future, forcing me to be present. Like, these are all reasons why I think, like, I'm becoming a bigger and bigger fan of the way Giannis has gone about his business. Doesn't care about what you think about him, just wants to win championships his way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I feel like throughout the series, I mean, I was already a Giannis fan, but I've become more and more of a Giannis fan as well. I don't know if it's like the moments or the things we're seeing on social media or the way he carries himself, but I agree with that sentiment. Talking to Jay Williams right now, co-host of Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin, which is a show you're listening to or watching. I'm Shea Cornett. He's Bart Scott, filling in for the guys this morning, and Jay Will joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, I want to play you some sound here real quick, Jay Will, of Devin Booker yesterday on the jump, and he was asked a question about the comparison between him and Kobe Bryant, and I want you to react to his sound here. Take a listen.
You know, I didn't make that comparison myself, and, you know, I just leave it at what he's done for me as a mentor and the advice that he's left me with, you know, so I try to take bits and pieces of his mentality and his approach, but, you know, I should never be compared to Kobe Bryant.
So Devin Booker, his rookie year was Kobe's final year, so he was, you know, he didn't necessarily always share court, but did at one point. And so I just want to know your reaction to what he had to say about that comparison, Jay Will.
Two things, Shay. First off, wow, what a first-class toss to sound. Right. I mean, that was impressive. Succinct, right to it. Bart, sometimes you don't appreciate greatness until it's gone. Shay is greatness. I'm just saying. Number two, I agree with him. When this whole thing started to go down, I was like, what are we doing? We can say, and we get this a ton on the NBA draft when I hear guys start doing comparisons. And I'm like, don't say he is this player. Say that he has shades of this player. Or say that, hey, if I were to combine two players and certain attributes of who these players are, I would say that, hey, he has remnants of this player, remnants of that player. Don't say he's the next. I think that's a disservice to the legend and the greatness that Kobe Bryant brought to the table. And I love that Devin Booker. I've seen Devin Booker from the time he's been 14 years old. I played pickup with Devin Booker when he was part of the Elite 24 game, which is an Under Armour game, All-American game, when he was like 14, 15, 16 years old. He was very talented, and he has remnants, shades of Kobe Bryant with the way he can attack within that mid-range game, and his moves remind you of Kobe Bryant because obviously he studied it. But just let him be Devin Booker. Right. Mm-hmm. Let him get to his first NBA Finals. Let him win a Finals MVP, or let him win an MVP. I hate when we put so much added-on pressure onto young star players because all of a sudden we want to tell them who they're going to be. And I hate, like, don't compare me to Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas is one of my all-time favorite players. But, damn, I'm out here trying to be the next Jay Williams, or I'm trying to be the next Devin Booker or CP3. So I'm happy he answered it that way, because that puts more respect on Kobe Bryant's name. And actually, for me, that puts more respect on Devin Booker's name, that he's trying to be the next D-Book, not Kobe Bryant.
Like, also Kobe's got 5 rings. You know, right. Like, come
but that
on.
Was,
exactly.
That was class personified, right? Because we were comparing, like, LeBron to Magic or Jordan. We always are looking for a comp, and that's just something where people try and explain what the expectations of the player is. You know, that just signals that he's arrived, because last year we wouldn't be saying that because he was out there and he didn't have an opportunity to perform on a big stage. And because he's performing at such a high level on the big stage, now we have to try and find a comp, because this is what we do as a society. But I tell you what, Jay, do you believe that, you know, going into Game 7, they should maybe bring out the hacker Giannis, not allow him to get started and let him get on the free throw line?
I mean, it's something that if you're Monty Williams, you're definitely thinking about it. I mean, look, the free throws have been a little bit better for Giannis. But, you know, my thing is, once again, though, Bart, I think that's a tactic that you have to really deploy in the fourth, right? I think, you know, when games get close, I'm surprised they haven't done that before. Because, like, that's the one thing that you would say, when we talked about this, even with Shaq, and, like, certain players are so dominant. When the game's a little bit faster, when they're able to dominate the boards, that's when Giannis is at his best, when guys are knocking down shots, because it opens up the whole kind of paint for him to start doing his thing. But if we do get down to the fourth quarter, I would be shocked, especially in Game 6, when the Suns are in desperate need of a win. If you want to make Giannis Antetokounmpo prove it, that he is the player that we all expect him to be, then you put his tail on the free throw line down the stretch and you say, hey, you know what, for the next 9 or 10 possessions, we're not going to let Chris Middleton get going like he's been going for the last 3 games. We're not going to let Drew Holiday get going in transition. And I know he's a great two-way player. We're going to put Giannis on the free throw line, and we're going to find out if possessions will become empty for the Bucks or not. So that is one hell of a tactic, and I think Monty's been keeping that underneath his sleeve this whole time for a Game 6 or a Game 7 potential.
Interesting. All right, Jay Williams, we will see what happens tonight. Game 6 in Milwaukee. It's Bucks and it's Suns, and he's Jay Williams recovering in a hotel room somewhere nearby.
Don't worry, I'll be here, Shay. I'll be here. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm not going anywhere. I'm locked in.
We're going to hold it down for you, Jay Weezy.
Yeah,
you know we down like 4 flats.
Will. Don't be a stranger.
All right,
buddy.
Shake and bake.
All right, talk to you later. See you, Jay Will. Thanks for the time.
Bye,
appreciate
guys.
It. All right. We got some more coming up next. Why one analyst said Hard Knocks is actually an oxymoron for America's team. We'll hear that next here on KJZ and ESPN Radio, ESPN News on TV.
If you're the Cowboys, you just don't want to see what you saw last year.
I think they're going to compete with Tampa Bay for the conference.
They're not runaway favorites in the league.
Dallas feels that they can be in any game. They feel like they have the offense to get that done.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Center. The NBA Finals Game 6 is tonight. After winning three consecutive games, the Milwaukee Bucks take a 3-2 series lead against the Phoenix Suns into Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight on ABC and on ESPN Radio. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. The Bucks are one win away from winning their first title in 50 years. Milwaukee is the fourth team in Finals history to go down 2-0 and win the next three games. The 2006 Heat and the 1977 Trailblazers went on to win the title in those seasons. Giannis Antetokounmpo has averaged 32.2 points per game through his first five career finals games. Only Rick Barry, Allen Iverson, and Dwayne Wade averaged more. Team USA guard Zach LaVine has been put in health and safety protocols and did not travel to Tokyo. USA Basketball said in a statement that it hoped LaVine would be able to join the team in Japan later this week. He is the third player to be affected in the past week, as Bradley Beal had to leave the team because of the protocols, and Jeremy Grant was in contact tracing quarantine for 4 days. LaVine started Team USA's last two exhibition games. By the way, those were both W's. And he averaged 10.3 points per game in all four exhibition games so far. Nashville Predators prospect Luke Prokop becomes the first active player under contract in the NHL to come out as gay. Prokop made the announcement on social media and said he made his decision to come out in April when he returned from Calgary after his season ended because of COVID-19. Prokop was selected in the third round of the 2020 NHL draft by the Predators and signed a three-year entry-level contract with Nashville in December. Prokop played last season for Calgary Hitmen of the Western Hockey League. SportsCenter is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest, most dependable network, Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
He on fire today. I'm about to get up in 2 steps.
I see Bart just like sitting on the end of his chair waiting for what track is going to drop, and he gets excited every single time. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. I'm Shay Cornett. He's Bart Scott. We're hanging out with you on a Tuesday morning, and we are going to get to the Cowboys here in just a few minutes because the Cowboys begin training camp later this week, as do the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are in the Hall of Fame game, first game of the season, and so they do begin training camp, but we do have a little bit of news, breaking news rather, to share. The head of the organizing committee for the Tokyo Olympics said today that he is not ruling out a last-minute cancellation of the global sporting showpiece amid rising coronavirus cases that have presented organizers with mounting challenges. Yeah. He was asked at a news conference if the games, which are due to open on Friday, might still be canceled. And Toshiro Muto said he would keep an eye on infection numbers and hold discussions with organizers if necessary. This is a quote from him. We cannot predict what will happen with the number of coronavirus cases, so we will continue discussions if there is a spike in cases. We have agreed that based on the coronavirus situation, we will convene 5-party talks again. At this point, the coronavirus cases may rise or fall, so we will think about what we should do when the situation arises. I want to point out that we know this by now. I assume that that cases of COVID-19 are going up in Tokyo and in Japan. These games were postponed last year, obviously, because of the pandemic. They will be held without spectators no matter what. Japan this month decided that participants would compete in empty venues to minimize the risk of further infection. So This is a problem.
Oh, yes.
This is a really big problem.
You got to monitor this. We're talking about athletes that have, you know, trained their butts off for 4 years and waited a year and still continue to do that. Also, you know, they're taking every measure that you can think of. And I wonder how much of this is the intermingling of people from different places and not really knowing and not, you know, they would almost have to put the entire games in a bubble. And that's impossible to do when you think about the mass numbers. They're already, like, I saw some reports that they had cardboard beds because they want only one person to be able to be on a bed because you don't want people, like, meeting each other and things like that. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it seems like we're watching it come to an end, and it's only a matter of time, because if the numbers adhere, what happens when they compete? And what happens is so hard, because you can have false negatives and false positives, and, you know, it's going to be a tough thing. And I just, you know, look at what that country, the money that was invested, but also the money that's invested from countries to fly over there and all the due diligence, everything that happens from the media and the hotels. It's tough, because I'm sure, you know, Japan has invested a lot of money in hosting the games.
It's so unfortunate, but this whole situation is giving me, like, terrible deja vu. Like, yes. When we start hearing more cases going up. I mean, I just read in SportsCenter, like, Team USA, now Levine is the third guy that has been removed for health and safety protocols, rather. Like, it's just continuing to go down this slippery slope.
What scares me the most, Shay, is the fact that you can have some type of mutation of the virus, because you have people from different parts of the country that's different variants mixing with each other and making something that can not only be hazardous to the athletes, that's something that can be brought back and create another pandemic in the country.
Yeah, it's not a good situation. But what I do know is we will have Fernando Palomo. He's our Olympics reporter, and he is on the ground in Tokyo already. A lot of these reporters and media personnel have already arrived there because they have to quarantine in order to get ready for the games. And so he has boots on the ground there, and he'll give us the very latest. That is coming up later at 9:10 Eastern, so stick around for that. Okay, hard turn now into training camp for the NFL and what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys, Pittsburgh Steelers, two teams that will start training camp on Thursday. The rest of the league begins next week. And so this has us looking as to what's it going to look like when the Cowboys do start training camp. Yeah. And we're going to get a real close look at it, because the Cowboys will be featured on Hard Knocks. And this is always an entertaining series for a lot of different reasons, football fan or not. But before we get into our take on it, you got to hear Stephen A's, because this is just Stephen A being Stephen A and poking the bear a little bit with the Dallas Cowboys. And here he is on Stephen A's World Yesterday. Take a listen.
The Dallas Cowboys returning as the featured team on Soft Knocks. I know it's officially called Hard Knocks. I know that. But when Dallas is on, I call it Soft Knocks. That's the rule. No show about a team with a defense that tackles like the one they have down there in Dallas can be called Hard Knocks. We're going to learn all about the Cowboys players. Big name players and role players, too. We're going to get a lot of Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. The Cowboys are going to talk about how optimistic they are that this season is their season.
Of course they're going to talk about how optimistic they are that this season is their season. Got to love Stephen A. Soft Knocks, not Hard Knocks.
I love the undertone music under there, man. That sounds like some stuff off MacGyver or Hardcastle McCormick. Or like, I love the music, but the undertone from there, man. But, you know, Stephen A. is the perfect heel, right? He is the perfect heel to the Dallas Cowboys. And at some point, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, are going to figure it out. They're going to get back to where they've been or where we expect them to be, because a broken clock is right twice a day.
Broken clock is right twice a day. The Cowboys got a lot to figure out, though, and it starts at the quarterback position and where Dak Prescott is in terms of his health. And then you can go on down the line. Look, there were issues everywhere. I mean, health-wise, offensive line, quarterback, obviously, defensive side of the ball. And then, obviously, you changing out personnel on the defensive side of the ball. You had a first-year head coach. Not first year in terms of being a head coach, first year in Dallas.
Right.
Issues in the locker room, all of it. And so now you got to hope that all of this gets sorted out in front of a camera. You got to hope that your quarterback, who now you've paid, so that narrative we can finally stop talking about, that distraction is over. Like, hopefully he can figure things out. And I said this yesterday, I'm going to say it again. Like, Ezekiel Elliott, I don't know if it was mental last year or what was going on with the slippery footballs and dropping footballs or whatever it was, but he's got to get right this year too, because that is a big part of the opportunity. operation. You have a fully loaded receiving core. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of drop footballs, may I say. I mean, CeeDee Lamb in the end zone, I don't know how many times. Can't happen this year. The mistakes need to go out the window.
I mean, it was the perfect storm last year, right? They had a defense coordinator that they didn't believe in. Ezekiel Elliott, I believe the fact that he was having the fumble problems because he was trying to do too much, right?
Perhaps.
He was trying to put the team on his back. And when Dak went down, he wanted to be the leader of the offense. You know, Tyron Smith, right? So he tried to put too much on his hands. And a lot of those fumbles was because he was fighting for extra yards. And when you do that, you expose the football and you give other people an opportunity to come from a far distance to zero in on a football, either punch it out or put a helmet on it. I expect them to be a lot better, but like most teams, you know, especially those that have paid their stars, you know, when you think about Lawrence, you think about Dak now, you think about Ezekiel, what happens is now you're thin, right? You're razor thin, and it's all about health, right? So I think it's more about that, but I'm not concerned. You know, I understand that Stephen A. is calling them soft knocks, but attitude reflect leadership, right? Attitude reflect leadership. And on the defensive side of the ball, they got a guy in Dan Quinn that has the right leadership, which means this team is going to have the right attitude, right? Running to the ball, a standard of excellence, right? Because he's done it. He has that type of respect. When he walks in that locker room, everybody that's in that defensive room is going to respect him. And when you look at it, I look at him from a personnel standpoint, I'm excited about what they potentially can be. Now, they got to put it together, but you look at Lawrence, right? You look at Randy Gregory. If Randy Gregory can keep himself clean, now you have two elite pass rushers. So I think that they're good when you think about getting pressure on the quarterback. And at the second level, you can make the argument that at the second level, from a linebacker standpoint, this is the most talented linebacker core in all of the NFL.
Wow.
And I understand that the Bears have
Danny Trevathan.
And they have Raekwon Smith. But I mean, if Parson lives up to the hype, Vanders, if he can stay healthy, because you always get concerned with that neck, and Jalen Smith can get back to who he was before the Dallas Cowboys paid him. You have three impact linebackers that can play in space and are a great blitzer. So now you can play the game where you don't know who's going to be added into the blitz. You know, they can be interchangeable, so you can't get a beat and say this is what they do when this guy's lined up here and there. And then Trevon Diggs, I like him. And, you know, a sneaky pick that they picked, and I thought they were very disciplined in the draft, is what they were able to do when they got Kelvin Joseph, who I felt like is like a Delta O'Neal type of cornerback. He's a boom or bust, but he has all the athletic traits that you look for in a tremendous corner. So now they're solid on that standpoint. And before Keanu Neal had the injuries, right, he was considered the Jamal Adams of football. He was the Cam Chancellor come down with that hit stick, and he's going to go back into a defense that he's comfortable with because he's been with Dan Quinn. So I have no concerns from them as far as a defensive standpoint. It's can Dak be elite and put him over the top?
So the tackles aren't the problem, Stephen A. It's going to be, is Dak, can he be elite? Can he be healthy? Can he put him over the top? Six wins ain't going to cut it this year. That's
not
at all. Not for America's team. The biggest questions heading into the 2021 season, we're going to answer them with Dan Orlowski. That's next. We'll play faux or faux real after Bart has this from Indeed.
Oh, faux. I ain't even happy because I was faux show waiting for Dan Orlowski. The reasons to find your next hire with Indeed are starting to add up. Just look at the numbers. Instant match searches millions of resumes in Indeed database to deliver candidates whose resume fit your job description. They have 135 skill tests that go beyond the resume to help you find the right candidate faster, and according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined. So if you're looking to multiply your employees and subtract the hassles of them finding them, visit Indeed.com/credit.
Will Tuesday be the night that Giannis wins his first NBA championship? And if he does, what will it mean for his legacy? We will talk about that and more with me. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, Their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, it's coming close, and it's coming fast. The NFL season quickly approaching because two teams are reporting to camp this week, actually in 2 days. The Cowboys and the Steelers, and then next week, the rest of the league will report to camp. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. My name is Shea Cornett. He is Bart Scott.
Shake and bake.
We are hanging out, filling in for the guys, calling ourselves Shake and Bake because it's just more fun, really, truthfully. Anyways, but we get a third member to come on in right now. That would be Dan Orlowski, our ESPN football analyst. Good morning, Dan. You got a nice tan going, working the summer.
He rented the sun for the summertime.
It's true.
So you got smut.
I appreciate you calling it a tan. I appreciate you calling it a tan because we all know it's not. It's a sunburn. It is a sunburn, but thank you for appeasing me early in the morning.
Yep. Just
slap your chest with some aloe, man. Look like Paul Orndorff over there. It's all good. Mr. Wonderful.
No. It's beach season, Bart. Beach season, man. Just let it go.
Let it go. All right, we're going to let it go and play a little game of faux or faux real. Here are the rules, Mr. Dan Orlowski and Bart Scott. Our producer, Evan, is going to throw a statement at us, and you're going to say if that's faux, meaning fake, or if it's faux real, as in true, like it's going to go down and it's going to happen. And so, Evan, the floor is yours.
Yeah, let's actually going to start with a bonus one that I didn't give you guys because this just in. Remember we mentioned Alex Guerrero was on Adam Schefter's podcast. He told Adam Schefter he believes Tom Brady will play another 2 years in the league. So, faux or faux real, Tom Brady plays another 2 years in the NFL.
Dan, we'll let you go first.
Faux real. And while it's happening, I'm going to be like, faux real? Dude, like, you're playing again? Your ninth Super Bowl? Yeah, Tom Brady threw 50 touchdowns last year. 50 with the torn MCL. I don't think he's slowing down at any point. This offensive line remains intact. The young skill positions that they have will remain intact. They've drafted really well since they've kept this organization coaching-wise together. Tom Brady will play at least another 2 years.
Bart?
For shizzle. You know what I'm saying?
Don't change the rules. It's faux or faux real.
Okay, faux real. I believe that he's going to play because, listen, he's playing from the shoulders up, right? He's like Master Yoda right now. He's mastered how to use his least amount of energy but still be effective, right? You think about the football acumen for most of the people that he's playing. He's seen everything. It's nothing you can throw at him. So he's still going to play at a high level. But I disagree with Dan just a little when I say that he's going to be playing for his 19th Super Bowl because it's a team out there in
ninth,
L.A.
Ninth.
It's 19th season. It's a team out in L.A. It's a team out there in Los Angeles that has Matthew Stafford, and he's going to show everybody a bad man that he
is.
I'm
with you.
All right. I'm going to say.
I'm with you on that, Bart.
I'm going to say faux real as well. And, like, if you're saying faux, are you really watching? Like, you really think this dude's just going to stop playing ball in the next year or two? Yeah. Give me a break.
Only Max Kellerman. Only Max Kellerman.
Just won a Super Bowl. All right, Ev, give us the second one.
Yeah, speaking of quarterbacks who burned Mike Tannenbaum, Tim Tebow will be on the Jaguars opening day roster. <Jeez.
laughs> Go ahead, Orlowski.
I'm going to say faux real, and that's a change of heart from, you know, 3-4 months ago. I think a couple reasons why. Like, Urban Meyer was notorious for a lot of things in college, but stressing a defense was the most important thing or most obvious one. And I think Tim Tebow is his guy that's going to stress defenses a little bit. They don't have a ton of tight ends. I don't know if he'll play traditional tight end. They don't have a ton of tight ends. They took Luke Farrell at Ohio State. But I just know that Urban wants to stress defenses. He invented the RPO for offensive football. And so I just see Tim being like a piece for him in a bunch of different ways. And while I will have the same reaction, like, for real, Tim Tebow's playing tight end in the NFL, I think he's going to make their roster.
Go ahead, Bart, quickly.
My love. For all the people, that's so for real. So I'm going to go for real, for sure, because, you know, Urban Meyer he's loyal to a fault, right? And he's extremely loyal. You saw it with his strength coach, and he's going to be loyal to Tim Tebow. And I think he's going to try and utilize him as an H-back, but also as a gadget guy. And I think it's going to be the worst thing to ever happen to Lawrence, because he's going to be taken in and out of games because they're going to try and get too cute, and, you know, they're going to outsmart themselves.
Y'all are tripping. This is faux, if there ever was a faux. Tim Tebow is not going to be on the opening day roster.
He's selling jerseys.
They're going to use... So what? Let him sell jerseys. He's going to be there to be a player coach and a player coach only and instill culture. There is no way he's on the opening
Rollins,
day roster.
Like Tree Rollins. He's going to be playing and the coach.
As a player. Okay. 53.
No way. We have only time for one left. We only got a minute left here. So, Ev, quickly, what do you got?
All right. There's a good one. The Packers report in a week. But I want to know, week one, Jordan Love starts for the Packers at quarterback week one.
Dan, faux or faux real?
Faux real. I don't see Aaron Rodgers missing this whole season. I don't see any way Aaron Rodgers plays 17 games for the Green Bay Packers. And that's kind of, you know, two things on one side. But I just don't see how he comes back. He goes, all right, I'm the week one starter. I think Jordan Love is going to start week one. I would not be surprised if he started a long time of games to the Packers this year.
Woo! Faux or faux real?
Faux. Come on, man. Are you killing me, Pete? There's no way that they're going to go with Jordan Love. He's going to get out there in the second preseason game, and he's going to throw so many interceptions that they're going to be calling and begging, please, please, Uncle Roger, please, A.A. Ryan, come back and save us.
I'm going to say this is faux, too. Like, I just can't live in a world where Aaron Rodgers is not starting for any team, let alone the Green Bay Packers week one. I can't even let my mind go there. So I am going to say faux. Faux when it comes to this. All right, that's all we got time for. Dan Orlowski, thanks so much for playing along. We appreciate it. Go put some aloe on that sunburn.
There you go.
A holiday.
See ya. We got much more. KJZ next on ESPN Radio, ESPN News on TV. We'll be right back.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.